Welcome back. This is Roleplay Balance of Power and Ko's Giant Face. Thanks for sticking around. Let's go and talk to a fish man.
Yeah.
So the Mon Calamari smuggler, arms dealer, businessman, we'll just let's call him Business Fish. So your new business fish friend, he has invited you for a tour of his warehouse. But before that happens, Gunnar is going to go and check the place out. So, Gunnar, are you, I assume, you're going to attempt to do this stealthily?
Stealthily, solo, all that good stuff.
Okay, cool. So let's have you roll just a, difficulty two, stealth test. We'll just see how stealthy you are.
Okay. Ooh, let me grab it.
Okay.
My laptop screen is so small.
There's a character sheet in here somewhere.
Yep. I know I saw
killing it. All right. So you got a success and a lot of advantage.
Wow.
So let's roll that advantage into you can roll that advantage into your like a perception roll to actually like scope the place out. So you can give yourself two blue dice, for the next roll and you stay hidden. Your success means that no one notices you check the place out. So let me describe the neighborhood. So, the Abrogato Rey spaceport has like landing facilities all over the place. There's like 100+ of them, where ships, both large and small, can land, unload cargo, unload people, pick up new stuff, leave the planet, and come and go constant. There's just a constant churn of ships coming and going. It's like living in an airport the size of a city. The rest of the city, aside from the sort of sparse by comparison residential areas, are warehouses, places where goods are stored between the delivery of them and their ultimate destination, which is like for the most part, other places in Abrogato Rey, but sometimes reloading onto a ship and heading back out into the universe. And now I've just described what a warehouse is to you if you didn't know. Anyway, so most of the place is taken up by that stuff. So lots of large buildings, lots of droid automation. We see cargo loader droids moving around all over the place. Fairly low in terms of persons. So, you know, this neighborhood is it's no different to the rest. Most of the traffic here isn't by road, it's by canal, because this area is crisscrossed by a lot of major like rivers and waterways. So, you know, they load a lot of these cargo onto droid controlled cargo boats, move them around. So big shipping yard. And the warehouse location that you've been given an address for is, it's a pretty big warehouse. It seems to be connected to some other facilities. There's like a cargo onloading and offloading facility. And when you get there, you can see it's, you know, all hours of the day in full motion. There are trucks pulling up to unload cargo. And there are several of these cargo container ships in the nearest waterway loading up. You can also see that there are guards, both obvious and unobvious. So there are like armed security personnel, like non-Republic security personnel, guarding the area. So like the stockyard and the entrances, you'd say there's probably a dozen that you can see just on the outside. And then there's also like cameras set up to keep an eye over everything that's happening in the area. And there are probably some other security stuff in play. They probably have like drones or something like that, like droids that kind of do like a circuit, but you don't see any while you're there. So that's just basically like what you get from taking a look at it. Is there anything like more specific you wanted to know or any questions you have about the facility?
No, just are the cameras clear? Can I see what direction they're facing in?
Yeah, they seem to cover the yard in its entirety and any of the major entrances. So there's a front, as with a lot of warehouses, there's only like kind of one like pedestrian entrance and exit. There's a bunch of like big areas that open up both into a stockyard and then one that opens up into the canal directly. And the cameras seem positioned to take a look at those predominantly.
So they don't cover the roof?
No, there isn't. Yeah, there's no camera that you can see on the roof from here.
And how high is the elevation of the building?
I would say it's wider than it is tall, and it's probably two stories. It's like 20 odd feet. Yeah. And the neighboring area is just other warehouses and stockyards in the same way.
But they're probably like 100 meters apart or something, right?
Yeah, the roadways are quite large because, again, this is like a cargo area. The streets narrow further up into the mainland where less of these warehouses are. But yeah.
So are there aircraft taking off immediately from this warehouse?
It doesn't appear that way, no. No, it looks like it's mostly for storage, and then they use ground means to move stuff around. The actual airspace of Abergarde Spaceport tends to be pretty clear of civilian, like non-space transport, because there's so many takeoffs and landings happening from space. They can't really clutter it up. So yeah, you're muted. Can't hear you.
So there's even a landing space or anything like any.
No. Like the roof just seems like clear from here, and you don't see any. Yeah, if there's a hole in the security, that would be what it is from above.
But I mean, even on the ground, like where the trucks are, no one would ever land a plane here.
I wouldn't say never, but it's certainly not like designed for it. No, the cargo vehicles all seem to be grav vehicles, not flight vehicles.
Okay, that's not my questions then.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so you got a pretty good idea of the tactical situation of the place.
So was that my perception roll?
Yeah, I just rolled that advantage into answering questions about the place for you. Yeah.
So do I take away the two blue?
Yeah. We don't have to make that roll. I realize it'd be silly to make you make a separate roll if no one can see you and you have all the time in the world to like scope it out. Yeah, it would only be if you tried to do something more difficult or complicated, like if you tried to get inside, but you didn't want to do that. So good, smart move on your part. Unless you want to do it now, but
I mean, I don't see how I would, you know. But can I see if there's? I mean, they're probably like night vision cameras too. I make a note of the guard changes.
Okay, so you wanna hang out long enough to see if the guards have a specific rotation?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they rotate them on. I mean, I guess how long are you gonna stay up all night and like watch this place? Like, how long do you wait?
I have resilience. I mean, I could.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I figure you're pretty used to like crouching like a gargoyle on the eaves of a building, staring down at the people below. So yeah, okay, if you hang out long enough, like they seem to rotate on 6 hour rotations. So after 6 hours, they rotate for a new group of guards, and then do it again if you stay there all night.
And are they just on standby, or do they look at certain areas and move around?
They seem to mostly be like put on post. Yeah, nothing. There's no events, like nothing occurs. Though if you wanted to spend a destiny point to like have something, like to see how they react, you could, as a player, spend a destiny point, and I could be like, yeah, someone tries to like, I don't know, get in, or like someone shows up, and so you could see the guards respond. But that would require spending a point.
How do I get back up to the spaceport? I mean, I could just wait down here for my party.
Yeah. I mean, you can hire a cab basically to get you anywhere in spaceport.
Yeah, I still just wait down here. So then I disengage from the building and I move back, and okay. I come back to base and I let them know that, you know, if there's any way Cass could just land a spaceship down here, whatever you want to call it, whatever Cass drives these days, land one down here, they might not be happy about it, but just claim ignorance, you know, like, silly me, I didn't know you guys didn't like that. Maybe we could get inside from the roof, but maybe we don't need to, so I'll just wait here for you guys.
Cool. Okay. Well, I presume that the other three members of the party are either sleeping or inactive. So a comms officer. No. Yeah, like the comms officer on duty takes those notes and promises to pass them along. And you get a message, I guess, when you wake up, the three of you, that Gunnar has provided all this information.
So I remember you were talking about the computer check, whether I could go deep into the you know, other people's stuff, and also I could access, can I access the Rebellion's information now?
You always have access to the New Republic's database, all of the like legit information that they have. Yep. Yeah. You have access to their intelligence at any point. So you don't even have to roll. You can just let me know what you.
Okay. That means I don't know anything like pertinent to this, like anybody's name or.
I mean, if you look, you could look this dude's name up in the New Republic like database.
Yeah.
If you
want.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. You don't have to roll. You bring up Tech Shekla, and he he's a businessman. He owns several ships that he uses to as with a lot of people in this system transport medical supplies, because this is it's on the back to run. So on paper he's a medical supply shipping and storage magnate. So he has all these like legit business deals with various planets and their governments and what have you, picking up and dropping off medical supplies predominantly back to.
Okay. Does he have a criminal record?
Not a New Republic one on this planet. You could make a requisition to look him up on other worlds if you wanted to, but that would take some time and it would require a role.
Well, yeah, like I would love to see his, like anything I can use as leverage against him, like his contacts, anytime he's been caught, anytime, like,
sure,
that kind of shit. So
yeah, he's clean. He's clean on paper in the Tunde regime, but they're only like a year and a bit old. So he hasn't done anything bad in a year. And the old government, all of its records were purged in the changeover. But if you wanted to, you could deepen your search out into the New Republic overall. If you wanted to make a role,
I'd love to.
Okay, sure. Make a computer role difficulty. It's kind of specific. Difficulty 3.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. All right. So take a point of strain. And I think that if you do like a deeper search, like off of just this planet, mm-hmm. There is a it's been retracted. But there was a bounty out for this dude just shortly after the Battle of Endor, like shortly after the destruction of the second Death Star.
Okay.
And it looks like the bounty was placed originally by another Mon Calamari.
Okay.
And then was retracted. It obviously didn't say why. And it was not a dead or alive. It was a like wanted, like capture alive.
Yeah. Okay. Does it tell the name of the one who wanted him?
Yeah. I think
it went up right now, please.
I think it probably would. Right. It was placed by a Rab Kalina, which is I guess you would know, cause you know, you're, well-educated droid. Yeah, it's a it's like a traditionally like a female Mon Calamari name.
Okay.
Rabulina. Okay. Okay.
And any reason why it was retracted?
It doesn't say. It just it was unfulfilled and then it was canceled.
Okay.
Yeah. So this guy's got an outstanding, well, formerly outstanding bounty. Cool. Yeah, cool. Okay. I guess then you're going to we're gonna cut to the meeting. So it's the next day. It's a bright sunny day here in the Abrogata Array spaceport. And where is everybody when the meeting sort of starts? Like when we see Kes and Zed approaching the front door of the warehouse, where do we see everybody else when we cut to them?
I'm standing guard beside Talra, wherever he is. That's all you.
We are within comms range, but it's me, Gunner, and six agents all in street clothes, and we're basically just kind of in a nearby building, pretty much at the farthest extent of our comms range where we can still clearly hear them, and we are holding tight for a sign from Kestrel or Zed on needing to rush in.
So when you say you're like nearby, there's like eight people or whatever, are you just like standing in the street or like we're being very it's fine. We're just hanging out here. Just eight dudes standing around with guns in the street.
You know? Can we do this in a classy way where we're on one of those like French boats that go on the French canals? We're like standing there and Tara's the captain of the ship and we're just going around in circles around the warehouse.
I mean, like that kind of traffic is actually like kind of restricted here because there are these big cargo boats that move around in the canals. So they, you know, they're like, you can't take a gondola down the cargo route. And all of these buildings are, all the buildings in this vicinity anyway are like occupied. They're warehouses and shipping houses and stuff. So
What do the main streets look like around this area?
So they're probably like two lanes. They're not like big streets, mostly two lane streets, with a little bit of pedestrian space on either side. They tend to be fairly abandoned in terms of human content. Like, there's not a lot of sentience around here, but there are a lot of automated droids, like moving cargo through the streets. So it's pretty quiet for the most part. There are a few non-warehouse places that are like cantinas for dock workers, for folks that actually like work at the docks. But a lot of the actual work is done by droids. So
let's in that case, is there a cantina close enough by?
Define close enough.
Close enough to be in comms range.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so we're gonna hang out in the cantina. Pretty much acting like we're completely off-duty dock workers, just messing around, maybe even doing a few fake fights every now and then, some jostling and stuff, but basically just being totally inconspicuous. And I'm basically going to tell the team, like, you guys hang tight, do whatever you want to do, just stay in this area and be ready to move at a half moment's notice.
Okay, so the idea here is that you're just going to hang out in this, like, this bar, basically pretending to be having just finished your shift and just like hanging out, getting drunk.
You got it. Premises, they are the workers. I am the foreman, and we all just got off a shift kind of thing. And I'm sitting there just quietly in a corner, keeping an eye on everyone while making sure I have full attention in the comms, listening to Kestrel and Zed.
How dedicated are you to this ruse? Are you like fake drinking too, or are you real drinking?
I'm real drinking, but not enough to, I mean, you know. I'm a Bothan. I know my time is short, so I don't get too drunk.
Oh, it always hurts.
All right, so we see this cantina, and it's kind of like a dingy place, lots of like stains on the bar. There are a bunch of kind of rough looking individuals in here, and next to the bar there's a gonk droid that's been retrofitted into a jukebox. So he's just like walking around from table to table, like bumping into stuff and having people like playing songs on him. And yeah,
I was going to say, I ask him if he has that available.
Of course, and, yeah.
Put that on repeat for the entire duration of our stay.
A table
or Reigns of Castamere or something.
As soon as you play at a table nearby, he's like, "Boo, boo, turn it off."
I give him the bop and finger. Like,
throw something at you. Yeah. The
equivalent of Bieber.
Yeah. When that song comes on, does it say the genre? Does he have like a display that says the song name and the genre for it?
Nobody has enjoyed
metal / trip hop.
Nobody has enjoyed jizz music for like a decade. Jizz is on its way out.
But what about me, Adam?
I mean, yes, your characters can enjoy it if you like. That's not my call, but that's not what this game is about. So so the droid wander around doing that. It's like a fairly raucous environment, but you can blend in okay for now. So I guess then we wipe to the outside of the warehouse. Actually, I mean, you don't even have to be outside. You can be inside already. But yeah, you're with your new friend Tech, and he's showing you around. So we probably tune in like in the middle of him explaining the efficiency of like some, he did some upgrade to the operating system of all his cargo loader droids recently. And this is very much like you'd imagine like a sort of Star Wars warehouse to be, like these droids kind of flying around picking up boxes, and there's like a conveyor belt for some reason, and things are being unloaded onto it. And basically all of the stuff you see here are like medical supplies, all the stuff that he's showing. And I think he's explaining, he says, most of my business here on Abrogato Ray is the medical industry, big business in Bacta, especially following a war, which if you ask me, isn't quite over yet. So hopefully business will remain good, but I'm a versatile businessman. And so while I do prefer the implements of healing, we can always go the other way. And he like pointedly like looks at the weapons that you have. It's a perfect ecosystem, you see. We sell them the guns, and then when they shoot each other with them, we sell them the Bacta to make it better. So, as you can see, this is just one of many of my facilities. I own a dozen here on Abrogato Ray alone, two more in the main city, and several all the way up the Bacta run on various planets, reaching as far out as the Outer Rim. I have a small fleet of ships. I've been in this business a long time, so I know what I'm doing.
I think you can see that I'm going to be an excellent and trustworthy partner for your unique needs.
How and do
he,
you...
Yeah, he pauses to give you an opportunity to tell him how great he is. He kind of like looks at you.
This is all very impressive, Tech. My big question and concern is, how can you guarantee that the goods are going to be safe getting off the planet?
He says, I mean, these aren't mere cargo ships I have, of course. All of them are equipped with weapons and shields and internal defenses as well. You can't be too careful about piracy, especially the farther you get from Coruscant. I make sure that my crews are not only excellent pilots, but have their own defenses as well. I hire only the toughest space pirates. I mean, not pirates. You understand. It's very, and he like kind of like murmurs, like he's not really sure. You get the impression, and I think Zed, you particularly, because you've been watching him, he doesn't really know that much about that part of the business. Like he's mumbling, like he's just trying to say words, and there's someone else maybe that handles that for him, but he throws money at them and is sure that, yeah, no, we're good. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, speaking as someone who's spent a lot of time in astronavigation, I would love to meet one of your pilots maybe and talk to them more about their process.
He nods and says, perhaps the next time one of my ships lands, you see, I have the, and he looks out to the field, and he says, I have my legitimate business, but we have other facilities for well, questionable cargo. I'm not quite ready to show you those just yet. You understand, of course, can't be too careful. The Republic's eyes and ears are everywhere, huh? And he like gives you a nudge.
I look at Kestrel, Master, if I may.
Zed?
If we were to have information on a very large cache of weapons, armor, the like, and when I say large, I mean large, would you be the man to talk to? Or could you put us in contact with that such person?
Yeah, you can see like you've got his attention, right? And he says, "Oh, of course. There's no business too large for Tech. I have all the resources that we need and access to more. If we fill the warehouses I have, I can make us all very, very rich. I assure you that. You bring me the merchandise, I'll make sure it gets into the right hands."
I mean, we're still trying to learn, like, how he's getting this stuff on and off the planet, right? I mean, he's saying that he's got, like, ships, but how does he...
Right, the question is this the main guy?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to figure out how this ties into our plan, like what we're trying to do. Because
yeah,
we're
you've got a foothold in the like larger world of like smuggling that goes on here.
Right.
You don't know necessarily if this is the guy that the Empire is using to like move their weapons.
Yeah, I was gonna say we don't. This could just be a weapon smuggler. This may actually have nothing to do with our main mission, but we could use him to gain access or get information on the person that is relevant to our mission.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I just don't know how to, I feel like I don't know how to get there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm trying to like learn more about his process or like how is he getting, I guess I can ask him like Tech, cause if he doesn't know though, we'd like to know how you're managing to get, especially weapons on and off the planet without, you know, I'm assuming there's some kind of like security force outside of the planet that scans or, you know.
Yeah, I mean the new Republic technically, like the planet is part of the New Republic and has to follow New Republic customs laws and stuff, and the Tunde regime is trying, but they're still working on it. So yeah, there would be some degree of customs eventually in place.
Right.
The borders are pretty porous.
Yeah, how are you subverting the customs processes, Tech?
He says, well, why, in the traditional fashion, of course. Even the New Republic and their lofty goals are not above a bit of bribery here and there. Everyone needs to eat, you see. And besides, it's my understanding that the New Republic is struggling a little when it comes to supply lines and can't pay their soldiers very well. So a little bit of fish oil in the right place can get a lot done. Okay. Well, you know what they say, you have to spend credits to make credits, right?
I had an idea, but I'm not sure it's going to work, and I was scared. all right, so I look at Zed, and I look around the warehouse. Zed, you know what we have in our inventory and the weaponry that we've got a lead on. Do you feel like Tekhirs are our best bet at is this operation big enough to handle what we've got? Or I'm not feeling like we've got enough like Tech has enough capital here to help us out.
I've had the same concerns, Master. My concerns are related to the fact that we've heard that someone else is using large amounts of capital to purchase a large amount of weapons, and this is not that person.
So I think, yeah, like, that's perfect. That's like you found exactly the way to tweak on this guy. He's like shaking his head, and his little catfish whiskers are like flapping against his face. And he's like, no, I don't. Who told you there was anyone bigger than me? You'll find no one better. Was it that Naz Landon? Oh, that Ronnie like scowls and like shakes his head. He's like, I've been a thorn in my side. Listen, don't listen to anything that he tells you or any of his men. He's all lies and spice dust. The man's a jerk. No one will be able to serve you better than I will. Look around. Landon doesn't even have a legitimate business to hide behind. And he's like, just like lost in his own, like,
dude, I just put the quarter in him and he's like filling out his purse all over everybody.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Awesome. I tried to hide my droid joy.
Yeah. Thankfully you have no facial features.
Right, yeah.
Twist, right.
So while I hear this on the comms, I kind of just, you know, as I'm taking a drink, I put my finger up to my ear.
Zed, if you could run a full diagnostic on that name and see if we can find any hits in this area.
I do, silently.
Yeah. Okay, make a make a difficulty 2 computers tests, please.
Okay. How do you clear the dice pool easily?
There's a little circle icon. Yeah, I
try to do that, but it doesn't do anything for me. I don't know why. Oh,
okay, yeah, you can just set it back
to zero. Two, difficulty 2.
Difficulty 2, yes, please.
And a computer check?
Yes.
And I'm going to use a light side point, if that's all right with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, good.
Perfect.
Oh, there we go. Sync pool GM. That's what I should have done. I didn't do that. All right, and then it's an upgrade, right?
Yes, yeah, one upgrade on your side.
Here we go.
Nice, okay. Nice. So so you're going to get some information. You'll get the information you're looking for and then one like additional kind of like lead. So Naz Landon, the name comes up in the New Republic database from like, there's several flags. He's like a known space pirate. This guy's not a good dude. I think we get like your view so we can see like overlaid his little like criminal profile. He's a Zabrak. And he's a nasty one. He's like got these like sharp teeth, and he's got a big nasty scar on his face. And what you're seeing is like a mugshot. Like he's holding a little like sign with a bunch of like Orbesh written on it. He's been arrested and let out of prison a bunch of times for smuggling, for assault, for like all of this other stuff. And then he apparently was part of a prisoner transfer. On a planet that underwent an Imperial to Republic shift somewhere in the Outer Rim. And during the prisoner transfer, he gave some information to the Republic about some of his fellow pirates, like his former gang, and they let him go.
So he's a squealer.
He is a squealer too. Yeah, he ratted on his former gang. They got arrested. Yeah, he was let free, and then that's the last anyone saw of him. But he's got a nice long criminal record with the New Republic, going back to before the New Republic existed.
Now, does this, like, is this petty crime, or is this like the heads have been caught for like big crimes, or
he's never been
like a known head of a gang or something?
No, he's not the guy who's ever been in charge of anything, and he's never been arrested for anything that would put him in jail forever, right? It's like lots of little like infractions. He got caught mostly like planetary governments. He's never been in like a full on imperial jail until his last infraction, when most of the crew of the ship that he was on got arrested for smuggling.
Okay.
Yeah. Smuggling and piracy, theft, that kind of stuff, but not like murder or anything yet.
So with all this information, I don't know if the commander has a data pad or something I can just upload it to, because I can't talk.
Yeah.
I'll just keep it like in my data banks or whatever if he doesn't have one.
Yeah, I think you can send it to Talra. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send that information, and then I will look at Tech. Of course, we are familiar with Naz Landin. However, it confuses me how he would get his hands on such capital as to purchase this amount of weapons. It seems like a far-fetched tale.
Yeah, and he nods in agreement, and he says, that's what I've been saying. Landon's nothing but a blowhard. Besides, scum like him love to lie about their achievements. I've built something here. Look, just look around you.
But then how do the rumors get started?
He shakes his head. He's like, I don't know. I presume that a man like Landon has a tendency to overinflate himself to anyone that meets him. It's been irritating me ever since he arrived on this planet. Everybody's Naz Landon this, Naz Landon that. I'm a legitimate businessman.
I just imagine like
definitely. I mean, have you
seen those little whiskers go all over the
place? Have you seen them on Calamari? They're jowly as fuck.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I just realized when he like talks to you, like, can he even see in front of himself? Does he like turn his head to the side?
I think their pupils can turn so they see forward. Like a deer.
So he has to turn his head to the right.
He tends to stand between the two of you and turn his head as he talks.
Arro.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. So he tells you. He says. So whatever it is that Naz Landon and his people are saying, I assure you, it's a lie, and he's not half the man I am.
Well, as a businessman, you should know that we look for the best price to get for our merchandise. So we have spoken to you. We will speak to Naz, and I'm sure the rumors will be proven false. And whatever best price we get, we will go with that. But my data suggests that you are the correct person.
Yeah, he kind of puffs up a little bit and like nods. He's like, well, of course, I'm sure you'll make the right decision. But be careful, Landon's a tricky one. As soon as he finds out you have anything worth selling, I'm sure he'll kill you himself or poison your pets or send a bounty hunter after your children. He's nasty that way.
That's terrible.
All right. Well, thank you for the tour, Tech. I greatly appreciate it. And I think we'll be in touch very soon.
Yeah, and as he takes you to the door, he says, while you're in the spaceport, if you need anyone to show you a good time, I'm your man. I know all the best cantinas. So if you'd like to get a drink and talk about global space politics, I'd be happy to spend more time with you. If not, I understand you're very busy. I'm very busy too. Lots of business to attend to, but you have my information. Contact me anytime, night or day, and let me know once you've spoken with this Landon. I would be interested to see how that goes. I'm sure you'll make the right decision. And he looks around. He's like, let me call you a car. And he like turns to the nearest guard and he's like, go and get them a vehicle. And the guard is like, yeah, I'm trying. Just dashes off to like call you one of the like droid cabs.
Nice.
I stop him.
Mm-hmm.
The car won't be necessary. We have many places to visit while we're in this area.
Thank you. Yeah, and he's just kind of like, of course, yes, I'm sure you have lots of looking around to see scenic neighborhood.
This dude is just
awesome. Yeah, he's like, right. Well,
the reason why I denied the cab is because I don't where he's gonna take us, and if he takes us home, he's gonna give us away.
Totally. Yeah. So yeah, and he's like, oh yeah, yes, of course. And then he takes out his comm link, like his data pad, and looks at it. And I think you can see clearly that there's no like active call. And he looks at me, he's like, well, I have to take this. Excuse me. He's like, yes, hello. And he goes, I'm so sorry. And like, okay. It's like, yes, I'll see you next time. And he like goes inside and you can hear him talking really loudly. Yes, no, I said I needed that shipment by today. Damn you. And he heads back inside.
Poor Tech. Oh, okay.
In the rendezvous. Okay, so before the ketchup in the cantina, kind of like in our first meeting in a bar, I'm not actually sitting down or drinking. I'm just standing at the side of it. I'm not looking at Talra. I'm kind of looking straight ahead past him. And my arms are just at my sides. You know, I'm very attentive. And I say, Talra, what's real?
You okay, Gunner?
Who am I?
Gunner?
You didn't see my files before I was brought aboard?
Adam, did I see her file before she came aboard?
I mean, that's up to Caitlin. You know, how much is public information? Like, what would Talra have known about you beside the fact that you're like an effective covert operative?
Yeah, that's all I would know, I'm assuming.
Yeah, let's say everything.
Yeah, okay. All right. So do you want to, why don't you tell Talra what he knows about Gunner.
Okay, so you know that Gunner was trained by the Republic, but under a secret, and what is it, when like experimental training program, when he was very young, maybe like 7-8 years old, and he was in, like, this is like a dark secret of the Republic. So maybe you wouldn't even tell him this because you don't want to believe it. But he was part of like a children's military and he excelled in it. And people in the Empire, people from the Republic actually moved to the Empire because of this program. So they have knowledge of it, but I guess they're just not exposing it yet. So you know that that happened, and then his memory was erased, but he was still a great soldier, so they kept him around instead of just disposing of him to try and cover it up.
Yeah, there was a big push in part of the, like, probably pre-destruction of the first Death Star, when it looked like the Alliance to Restore the Republic was going to lose. The Empire was just like totally on top of things, and I think there was a mission at some point that captured a stormtrooper programming facility, and kind of like Boromir with the One Ring. Somebody was like, no, let's not blow it up. Maybe we can make some stormtroopers of our own. And it got kind of like swept under the rug, but there was this like secret black ops facility that was basically trying to turn, like, make perfect soldiers so that we could, you know, restore the Republic and overthrow the Empire. And eventually, you know, it got up the chain and was shut down, but not before a few of these like soldiers had been deployed.
Okay, so a couple quick follow-ups here. So I know that Gunner was part of a secret blacklisted research project, and that his memory was wiped. do I know if there have been any memory issues before this one? Like, has any, for instance, have I been told or briefed on, you know, hey, there could be problems with this or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you were briefed that, like, yeah, Gunner is intensely focused, very good at his job, but you need to, like, keep an eye on him and report back to Republic Intelligence if there's any, like, problems. If Gunner starts acting weird, you need to let us know. So I definitely think that this is, it's queuing off that a little bit for you.
Okay. So we're now sitting across the table, and Gunner just let me know that he has no idea who he is.
Well, yeah. Who am I?
Okay. All right. So we'll pick it up right from there.
Yeah.
Love it.
Your name is Gunner. What is your last memory?
Starting the VR training. That's it.
How old are you?
25. It's what it says on my tag.
Do you know why you're here?
I mean, I was expertly trained to be a member of the squadron.
Do you understand your mission?
To fight for the Republic.
So Tower kind of looks down and he's a little bit confused because Gunner doesn't remember where he is, but he understands he's a fighter. He understands he's fighting the Republic, so.
Well, I'm just reciting everything that I've been told, but doesn't match up, right?
Here we go.
Do you understand your current mission and why you're on this planet?
I mean, everything in the past few years I know was real. But I have these dreams and I don't know who my parents were. I don't know where I came from. I don't know what my real name is.
This isn't good.
So at this point, Tower kind of puts his hand on his face. Now, what are Zed and Kestrel wrapping up the meeting while this is going on?
Yeah, this can be taking place like at any point during the meeting that you guys want.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and I think we're making our way to the liaison point.
Okay. So at this point, I'm going to kind of put my hand up to my ear, hit the broadband.
We're going to need to put this mission on pause. We need to get back to a safer area.
And then while I'm kind of locking eyes with Gunner, waiting to see if he's going to say anything else.
No, I look like really dead in the eyes. I'm just staring blankly at the wall.
All right. So at this point, I'm going to get up.
Gunner, we need to go.
I kind of signal to the other six. And at this point, we're going to head back to the closest area we can get to that has a receiver that I can call command on.
Okay. Sure. I think the closest that you can, I guess it depends on how obvious you want to be about it, right? Like you could just go to any like New Republic facility, like any police station or whatever, and just be like, I'm here. Let me do the thing. Or you can go back to your base. One will be more subtle than the other, obviously. But
how far is our base at this point?
Negligible, like a car ride.
Let's go ahead and head back to base. Yeah. Cause we have no idea where this is taking us.
Cool. Okay. All right. So we wipe to, I guess, all of you back in the base. And where is everybody? What does that scene look like? Let's set that scene.
So I'm going to be sitting down in front of the transmitter with Gunner sitting next to me. So Gunner can also be on a transmission that I make and kind of getting that set up.
Okay. All right. And where are Kes and Zed? Are they with you or have you like not invited them to this call?
All I have informed Kes and Zed is that the mission is on pause. that we have a potential roadblock that we need to get taken care of before we continue, and that they are free to do whatever they'd like until this gets solved.
Okay.
Do we know, I'm sorry, did you tell us what's going on or not? Not yet.
Yes, you guys are fully informed. Basically, what I've told you on the way over is that Gunner had a slight break where there was a moment where he did not know who he was or where he was. Okay. After talking about his history a little bit, he seems to have recovered a bit, but there's no question that before we move forward, we need to make sure he's okay and figure out what's going on.
Okay, so I take the commander and Kess aside.
Mm-hmm.
Or as soon as we have a moment without Gunner. And I say,
Gunner's state may be detrimental to our mission statement. Do you think it wise to take him along? For the rest, can he be relied upon or counted upon?
Gunner rides away on his cool motorcycle.
Sorry, I live by a busy street. Sometimes motorcycles go by. I apologize.
As logical, even though his skills are an asset to us, we should consider sitting him out.
Gunner's gone Section 8, full on Gomer pile.
So while Zed is saying this, Tara is audibly like breathing out a sigh, like, I'm glad someone else is saying this. And
logically.
Yeah. And Tara kind of under his breath looks over at Gunner, who is sitting in front of the transmitter waiting for him to move over and sit next to him. Kind of go,
I'm thinking the exact same thing. We have no idea what this is, and we don't have a lot to go off. We need to contact command, figure out if we can get anything going on, but worst case, we may have to do this just us.
And at that point, I kind of look over at Kestrel, see if she has anything to add.
I'm completely not sure what the hell is going on, so I'm going to follow your lead on this one, Commander.
So I just kind of nod and then walk into the room and sit down next to Gunner.
All right.
So, with new information, Nas Landon is our next target. Do we have a plan as to approaching this Zabrak?
I'm assuming Zabrak is the race, right?
Yeah, he's the Zabrak.
Yeah, I don't know how we find him, I guess. We like scan something for him. I don't know.
That'd be the province.
Command me to scan for like.
Well, that'd be the province of a streetwise role, right? Trying to track down a smuggler. Oh. Yeah,
which I am really good at. But on that note, while I turn around as I was going to the room with Gunner when Zed started saying that, and I just kind of turn around and go,
Zed, Kess, I'm gonna go call command. Try to get the situation worked out. If there's anything you guys can do to lock down our target in the meantime, I'll let you know as soon as I have any new information.
You got it, boss.
And then I walk into the room at that point.
Okay. All right. So you were given when you were assigned a gunner to your squad, you were given a specific like frequency that if there was ever a problem, like basically in case of emergency, call this number.
She's got a helpline.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. Gunner has a,
I don't think it's a helpline though. I think it's like kill gutter line, you know?
Yeah. There's a line that you like a specific, code that you would like punch into the signal and it would, create an encrypted connection to someone. You've never had to use it before. Hmm. Yeah. So you're alone in the like comms room. And the communication thing is set in front of you. You don't know what happened. Like if you dial this number, yeah, they might send somebody to come and like clean up Gunner. So are you hesitant at all or?
So at this point is how okay is Gunner? Gunner, are you totally you at this point or like how are you looking? How are you acting?
I'm trying incredibly hard to not give off the impression that I feel these pulses in my head. It's just constantly convulsing. And as we walked around, it kind of grew stronger and it phased out again. Maybe someone walks by and it gets like very intense. So I'm just focusing. You know how you have an anxiety attack? You just try really hard to think about nothing. It's kind of like that.
So you are not doing well at this point.
I mean, maybe I look fine. I look like myself.
Okay. Okay. So to me, you look okay. It's just you're having all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
Do I know the help frequency?
Yeah, it's probably like in a sealed envelope or whatever. They're just like, they gave you this like this code cylinder, and they're like, just use this, plug it into a comms device if there's ever a problem with Gunner's stability.
Okay, so sitting in front of this transmitter, I kind of lock eyes with Gunner. And I say,
Gunner, you know what this envelope is, and I'm going to need to use it. Before I do, is there anything you want to tell me?
Waiting on you, Commander.
At that point, I rip it open, I take the contents, and I plug them into the transmitter.
Yeah, it's like a code cylinder. You plug it in, twist it to activate it, it lights up. And the symbol of like New Republic like intelligence pops up. It shows you a progress bar for encrypting the connection. It crackles out, and then instead of seeing like a hologram, which you normally expect, you don't actually see anybody. You just see like a waveform, which it defaults to when there's no visual signal. There's a voice on the other end, and the voice is like distorted, like on purpose, so you can't tell who it is. So it sounds like several voices at once. And it's intentionally being like, in case someone is overhearing, they can't pick out the identity of the person on the other side. And they say, what's the status of your operative, Commander?
Status of operative is uncertain. Appears to be memory issues. Also having trouble focusing. Need advisement.
So what's Gunner? What's the protocol here when there's a problem? Like how would HQ be responding to it? Is there a way to trigger your conditioning and reset you, or like what's the plan when there's a problem?
I'm not really sure because it's only happened once, and it was just when the program was being overturned. And most people were siding on completely hiding it, you know. I think a lot of the soldiers escaped and went to the Empire.
I figured there'd probably be some kind of like Manchurian Candidate style like series of code phrases that just like hard breach you, right? Because they wouldn't want to like, because if they can wipe your mind before, they could do it again, right? So I was saying that might
warrior style.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah. So I figured that's probably what would happen, right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. It's up to you whether there's something that's interfering with that or not. But so you say that, Tara, and the voice on the other side pauses for a second, and you can hear, I don't know, maybe you hear like clicking as they like look something up, and then you hear the voice on the other side say, Agent Gunner, can you hear me?
Tara kind of gestures towards the mic to Gunner.
I can hear you, yes.
Gunner, we're initiating protocol Kraken Yoda Alpha 4-4. Do you understand?
I don't, but I say yes.
Okay. So you actually go to speak, and I think you feel that kind of like pulsing start to happen again, and the room gets like kind of unclear. And I think that, like, how do you respond? Like, you feel this, like, sort of pain fill your head, and everything starts to get blurry.
Is that the whole sequence?
It's the reset sequence. There'll be a second sequence that'll, like, turn you back on, but this is the turning you off part.
Okay, so I guess I have this sequence where I'm taken back immediately to the first time that this happened, and I just like I'm thinking exactly back to the moment. I feel all the pain. I feel like what I've been going through. I'm just like, I'm like 8 years old by now, maybe 10, And they've been instructing, like, they've been bringing live targets here for us to practice killing them, because our whole purpose is to go on a rampage on the Death Star. And so I'm brought back to the time when they're saying the sequence, and there's a figure standing in front of me, and I see them as well. And I get this really strong connection to them, but at the same time, and then now I feel myself as well in the now. It feels really dark and foreboding. And like, I mean, I guess I won't say who it is that I see, but I immediately know that that was my stand-in father. I know how I've been trained. I know what's happening. And I think that it doesn't happen actively, but the compulsions, they work against the code. So I understand what's happening. I'm going to like pretend that my memory was reset, but you know, finally I know exactly what happened and why these compulsions are happening.
Cool. So we get all these like sharp, like quick flashbacks to like intense lighting and all that stuff. And then, you hear the voice, on the other side. It crackles back to life after a minute. There's, you can hear that they're like counting down, like they're waiting. And then they say, Solo Womp Rat Wookiee 616. And then you feel like the thing that's supposed to reset, like take place in your head, like you can feel like something change, but it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. Do you want to make it so that it seems like you're fine? Like, how do you respond to that? You know how you're supposed to respond. But.
Yeah, I respond like how I'm supposed to respond.
Cool. Okay. So, what does that look like?
Kind of like how Gunnar always looks. I just look really blank all of a sudden. And then I become slightly animated. I don't like jerk back to life or anything, you know. Yeah. But, like my eyes start moving again afterwards. Really subtle.
So the voice on the other side says, addressing Talra, "That should do it, Commander. Best of luck." And it crackles out. And I think that's the last thing we see before we go to break, is the like little waveform as he says, like, "Best of luck," and then it goes flat, and then we fade out to break.